Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Well, tonight I am going to talk about some of my experiences in Las Vegas at a couple of magic shows. And I'm going to couple those experiences with the paranormal. And maybe we together can figure out what on earth is the attraction of the paranormal to wanting to be part of visiting or exploring a magic theater or a theater in general or whatnot? I have absolutely no idea what the draw is, but I have my speculations and assumptions, and based on that, maybe together we can figure something out. Before we talk about our main episode tonight, there's a couple other things I'd like to get out of the way. So, book number 10 is currently out on Amazon. It is called Message Received, and it is a good one. It is illustrated, full of pictures, sketches, lots of information. Very beneficial if you want to learn something. Very beneficial if you want to learn something just about the paranormal in general. So order with confidence and just know that hopefully I don't think you'll be disappointed. Manifestations remains out as book number 9. That's also a very good one. And not only that, Manifestations is just a combination of four other books that I have, and I wrapped all the good stuff into that book. And so between book number 9, Manifestations, and book number 10, Message Received, you're going to get a pretty good picture of how I seem to live my life with the paranormal. But one of the things that I find really super interesting is that every time I think I have experienced it all, something else gets dealt to me, like another card, like, here, have you tried this yet? Do you understand? Have you ever been through this yet? It's very interesting because I think I'm done, just experienced just about everything, and obviously not. And just the types of situations that I'm in sometimes is really interesting, and how that brings out the paranormal. And I know I talk an awful lot about going to Las Vegas, but I really do have a lot of experiences when I'm there, because that whole place is just a big energy ball on the planet. How can you not have a experience being in Las Vegas? Only for those of us who are ultra sensitive and looking for it, and sometimes not looking for it, something usually comes forth or pops up. And I did have a simple experience while I was there, but basically I will get into that in just a moment through the haunted report. What else can I tell you? Old housekeeping. Let's see. Last show, I believe I mentioned to you that I am awaiting notification on getting onto a game show. And if you go back to my last show and listen to the segment with Mildred, it'll give you a flavor of something about the game show, but it's not exactly the game show that I'm talking about. I am trying to keep that a little bit under wraps for now, just because I'm very superstitious and I don't talk much about it to anybody. I've mentioned it to people, but not in great detail. And the reason for that is because I don't want to jinx myself or bring bad luck to myself. But I cannot tell you that I'm not excited about this possibility. And I want to just kind of briefly talk about it and just share with you just the anxiety I have been going through since February, or basically since more like April, when it was obvious that I was being noticed for this show. You sit on pins and needles. You don't know where you stand. Sometimes a clue or a validation might be tossed in your direction, but it's not like you ever get a rejection letter. It's kind of like the show goes on and you're not on it and you realize maybe that's your rejection. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it as validation of some sort is sitting upon me, and I have no patience because my excitement is so grand, and it's just absolutely eating me up. And I want to mention the two producers that contacted me on April 1st. I really thought it was an April Fool's joke, by the way. But I was not expecting a call. I wasn't expecting to interview or audition for this show. It just happened. And I'm going to tell you that I have been sitting on pins and needles since then. And then right now, I just feel like I'm either put on hold or maybe it's just not meant to be. But I'm waiting. But I would like to talk a little bit about these two producers. If you are listening to my show right now, I just want to say to you that I'm grateful for the opportunity that you gave me to potentially be on that show. I still want to be on that show. I can't wish enough for me to be on that show. I am a fit for that show, and I'm interesting enough to be on that show. Now, I know that that might sound a little bit arrogant and conceited to most of you, but when you sit on pins and needles and you don't know where you stand, you start to lose faith, and you start to lose your confidence, and you start to lose hope, and you start to lose it all because you just don't want to believe that you were tossed aside. Do I believe I was tossed aside? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that what's in the works for me may still be coming, and I'm thinking that it will be the right decision for me to be patient. By the way, I have none. For those of you out there who know about your patience levels from 0 to 10, I have none. I've never been a patient person. I've been impatient, overly excited, and then I crash and burn when I feel like I'm disappointed about something. Anyway, without giving out too much more, I'm just out here to openly share my gratefulness to these producers. If you're listening to this show and you hear me, you will remember who I am. But most importantly, I am thankful that you contacted me and showed enough interest to at least give me the chance to get in front of your big producers there in Hollywood and at least give me the opportunity to showcase what I'm talking about regarding me. And that's where I'm going to leave it for tonight on that show. All right, now let's move forward with tonight's show. Tonight's show will be, we're going to start out with the Haunted Report. And then we're going to get into a segment about magic shows and the paranormal, theaters and the paranormal, anything creative and the paranormal. And I also forgot to mention to you, not to get off track, but I know you will want to have another report here on the orb visitations I'm having in my office on a nightly basis. And so I think you'll be interested to hear what I have to say about that as a continuation. But right now, I would like to take just a brief break to collect my thoughts. We will move quickly then into the Haunted Report. And as part of the Haunted Report, I'm going to bring up the orb situation, the flying orb situation, as well as a couple other factors in my visit to Las Vegas. Stay tuned.
It's time to learn your real talents. Learn what to focus on, then change your perspective. Regain those divine intentions. Be empowered by what life throws at you. They are Psychic Little T and Jennifer Green, Nashville's astrologer. Tune in and discover who you really are and set free your passions. Get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Then You can follow your passions with renewed energy. May your journey be one of divine wonder to get where you want to be. Come aboard. They are Jennifer Green, Nashville's astrologer, and Psychic Little T. Every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Para X Radio.
Did I mention that I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks and I'm going to be traveling to 5 to 6 different states and also hopefully encountering a few more paranormal situations? Well, I think I need to take this gentleman's advice on this commercial we just listened to and try to set free my anxiety and just let the universe take over and let the chips fall where they may. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's roll the haunted report.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. All right, so let's start out with this orb flying taking place in my office and also on occasion or pretty much every night as well in our master bedroom and who knows where else in my house. So for those of you tuning in for the first time and listening to this show, sometimes I build on experiences and I don't often go back and explain what you're listening to. So that often forces you to have to go back and listen to a couple shows in order to play catch up with some of this stuff. But the situation at hand was that, and I'm going to give this very briefly again, my husband and I would never consider or had never considered getting night vision cameras to be placed in our home. We have a very large home, but a lot of strange poltergeist activity had started in here even since day one, since we moved in, which was about three years ago. And it all started, of course, with me being locked out of the house, and then that progressed to other things, and then that, then next thing you know, I'm having poltergeist movements in the house and a wardrobe door literally flying open that was stuck for 8 months and you couldn't move it if you tried, and just all kinds of stuff going on in here. And now I'm no stranger to a haunted house. I have haunted homes. I have brought things back with me from trips. I have had asked, tried to explain throughout the years, what on earth I was experiencing. But I learned very quickly in one of my former homes that I believe I haunted, I'm not sure, that you can have a friendly ghost in your house or someone that's not really causing a lot of grief. And then all of a sudden, something else comes in, and it's almost like the battle of the ghosts trying to get their territories in place. And so then all of a sudden, it goes from what feels like an okay environment to a very sick, unfriendly environment. Well, when we moved in to the house that we're in right now, and we moved out of state and went into this home and had no idea, I didn't know anything about this area, but I did know that the home was the best house I could have picked out of all of the homes that I rejected when I moved and started picking homes in Minnesota. So, long story short, it was the day that I was locked out of the house, that where there's no way I could have been locked out of the house, that I thought to myself, did I bring something with me? or was something existing in this house? Okay. So fast forward here. It was the night that I was in my office working. I believe I was working on my book, or either that or a recipe book, one of the two, and cookbook. And I heard the front door downstairs open and close, as if someone just casually walked in and just casually closed the door. And we knew our doors were locked, but couldn't figure out on earth how that sound was made. I thought at first it was my husband who went to look at something outside the door, but he was in bed. And so he came middle-maddling down the hallway, stood in my doorway. He looked like he just woke up from a dead sleep, no pun intended. And basically, in a nutshell, I knew right then and then, the minute he said, "Did you just hear the front door open and close?" You could have just seen my eyes. I was like a deer in headlights going, "You are not serious." But you see, all kinds of things have been happening in this house regarding strange noises. And I mentioned in my book, you know, ever had the sound of a shovel scraping against the sidewalk? Noise in your master bedroom? I mean, my God, if that was a spaceship that was cloaked or whatever, I would probably say I would never know it because I certainly couldn't see it. But that happened twice, and it was obvious. And, of course, there's all other kinds of things that happened in here, like a handprint showing up on my body that lasted 3 hours that was blood red. So, anyway, my book is very interesting. I've got all these pictures. I've got the picture of the handprint on me and on my dresser and the crooked finger and you name it. And, you know, so anyway, I looked at my husband. I said, "I'm done with this." I said, "I do not want to re-haunt a house or bring energy out of a house that had been dormant." Or once again, I had two psychics in here at one time saying that I had a portal down in my foyer. I believed them, but when I put a night vision camera directly on the door in the foyer, there was nothing that I captured, but I captured everywhere else. This is what's really weird. Okay. Anyway, so what had happened with the door situation? Well, he and I went through the whole house like two frightened little children. Now, just because you're into the paranormal doesn't mean that this stuff does not scare you. If you can't see it, if you can't, you know, have any bearing on that, it's going to kind of wrap itself around your head a little bit. So anyway, of course, everything was locked and nothing was out of place. And from top to bottom, you know, we went everywhere. We looked at everything. We looked at all kinds of ideas. And then I said, "Well, let's get a night vision camera and see if we can see something." Okay. What I captured, I bought two different types of night vision cameras just in case. Never used them ever before in my life. Now I'm not going to say I'm a pro at it at all. I'm just saying that I bought the right ones. They seem to work very well. And I set them up in the places that I thought was having the most activity and what was going on. Okay, so I moved them a couple times over the last few months. But the most noticeable activity has been in our master bedroom and also in my office, okay? And the activity that was happening in our master bedroom, at first, they were just absolutely coming out of the wall and out of everything. Now, I've had people that have told me, they haven't been in here, they haven't seen the video. "Are you sure it's not dust, bugs, moisture, something floating around really fast? Is your fan? Are your fans on? Da 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 da. Is it camera scatter?" Okay, I would like to see if I can find. Maybe I will. I haven't really researched this yet. Anything on YouTube or anything that somebody is 100% on the money that what I have been experiencing is nothing more than camera scatter and not paranormal, lightning ball, you know, energy ball, unusual activity ball, floating, zipping, I would say zipping, or sometimes nonchalantly walking across my rooms. And that would be most fascinating to me. I have, there's a couple individuals I've listened to on a couple paranormal shows that proclaim to have answers for some of this stuff, especially the zipping light orbs that are zipping here and there. By the way, they're also outside, and they just come right through the walls or the windows or from the ceiling to the floor to the ceiling or whatever. Anyway, I'm still trying to figure out what it is, especially when I had the handprint show up on my body. Okay, now I'm going to have a camera right there to see what's touching me or whatever. I will tell you something, though. In the beginning, I noticed in our master bedroom, and I do have a picture of an occurrence. I have it in my book, but they were flying right into me. And I was like, are they flying right into me? You know, sometimes I would see my body twitch, but I never felt a thing. And I'm like, why are they flying into my body? Where are they coming from over here? Okay, interesting. Why are they showing off to the camera? Sometimes they'll show off to the camera, by the way. Sometimes they'll creep alongside the wall to not be noticed, or creep above on the under just where the ceiling is to try to what they think is they're staying out of view of the camera. And the camera is full range, so it can see from side to side. But it's very interesting how when they creep along the side of the wall, that it's obvious to me that it's an intelligent orb, energy orb, and it just doesn't want to be seen. Well, sorry about that. One time I captured, I have a television in my room with, of course, the black face on it, and I actually saw the reflection of it as it went across the room. So, okay, right? Okay, a reflection off the TV screen? All right, there we go. What I'd like to do next is I'd like to set up one of the cameras just across the hallway from my office, because when the orbs are flying out, what appears to be out the door, I want to see if I can capture them coming out of the door. And I haven't set that up yet. I will do that when I get back from vacation. One of the things about vacation I've noticed, because I work, I'm an artist and I work up in a tourist area in northern Minnesota. And when we're gone, this is where the mystery continues. This is where the analysis gets even stronger. One of the things I noticed is that there's no activity when I'm not around. This is odd. When I'm around, there's activity. When my husband is here and I'm somewhere else, when I went to Vegas, there was no activity in my office. There was no activity in the bedroom where he was at. Okay, very, very odd. So then people say, well, is this stuff coming from you? I don't know. Is it coming from me? Maybe something is just popping out of my body, and maybe I have all these attachments popping out of my body and they're just floating around to beat the band. I don't know. But I'm still analyzing this, and I keep the best videos and I download them and I keep them and I relook at them and I watch their speed and I watch this and that. It's just very fascinating. So right now, and what really gets me to is I have this mannequin, headless mannequin. It's a dress form, full figure dress form in my room. I do that when I'm like making jewelry and stuff like that. And I use it to gauge it on its body. And there are times when these orbs have actually flown out of that mannequin. So they're coming from everywhere, but I find them particularly interesting, especially when they're crawling and walking on the floor. The, you know, like I said, you have to be here to really appreciate this. But anyhow, enough of that. That's the orb situation. It's never ending right now. I'm still watching it, and I'm just about to set up again when I get back from vacation. I'm just about to set up across the hallway another camera to see if I can capture the orbs coming out of the door when they're trying to leave my office. The other thing I've noticed, too, is when I leave the office and I shut the lights off, leave the office, unless this is any kind of a camera adjustment, which I still don't know the answer to, they usually start to come out or come in or leave where they're sitting within minutes after I walk out of the room. I don't know. It's just fascinating. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Las Vegas. And then I will elaborate on it more in the main segment. Okay. So for the first time ever, this isn't the first time, but this is like the first time I had these types of experiences. I went to two different types of magic shows. One was on the Strip and one was off the Strip. I don't mind talking about the first one. I want to save the first one for a moment. I want to talk about the second one first. So I went to David Copperfield's magic show. And, okay, that was a little odd because my equipment stopped the minute I mentioned David Copperfield's name. We are in a retrograde right now, a Mercury retrograde. I believe it ends around June 22nd, 23rd, something like that. It has a tendency to cause communication issues with just people in general, electronics particularly, cars, anything functioning of that sort. And because we are also beings with electrical pulses and electricity inside of us, it can also affect us as well. And maybe if I have a minute, I'll explain that to you of a situation that occurred to me while I was up north. Manning, we have to serve our time when we're artists in this store, in this tourist area. And not to get off track, but I just wanted to drag this in really quickly, I guess. So when you're in a retrograde, and sky's the limit, things happen all the time. Maybe the reason why I haven't heard from these producers in Hollywood is because of something that's retrograde related, or maybe that's just an excuse. Regardless, things seem a little bit unusual considering the amount of validation and notice that I've been noticing on my end in their noticing me. And that's what I'm saying. Something seems not right now. But anyway, this morning I had glitches also in my phone. Yeah, I really did. And then just a moment ago, I was looking at my computer and I noticed that everything just stopped. But what's really interesting is everything stopped, but everything kept going. It's very, very strange. But when I was up, and I don't want to sidetrack what I'm trying to get at here regarding the haunted report, but it is part of the haunted report, I suppose. So when I'm up north and I'm working in the store is about, and then I'll get back to David Copperfield in a moment, probably about 40-some years old. And we don't know what happened in that area. I mean, the area is very touristy. Doesn't seem like the type of area where a lot of death would occur, but yet the deaths that do occur may be supercharged because it's by a big lake, very big lake, and then there's just a lot of activity in the area just in general. And anyway, I was looking for something in the store and in one of their ledgers because I was checking on some of the things that I've sold. And I swear to you, I looked at that ledger three times. I swear it. Couldn't find what I was looking for. Absolutely could not find what I was looking for. It was almost like the page disappeared. I got all over the manager's back on this one. To this day, I just feel absolutely embarrassed. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I figured something was happening. I call it the Bermuda Triangle now of the store, okay? I feel like I'm in the Bermuda Triangle every time I work in there because something is always going on or something weird. But I wanted to share this little excerpt with you because I think you might find it interesting. So I had been talking to someone and they were telling me about, you know, retrograde being very active right now and causing a lot of weird stuff to go on. And, you know, I'm getting up there in age. I'm no spring chicken anymore, I'll tell you that. And so when you get to be this age, your memory starts to kind of go. But I'm looking for this piece of paper and I just could not find this piece of paper, I swear to you. After I crawled all over the manager's back about something that was missing in the store of mine, and it wasn't documented on the paper, and I couldn't find the paper, I went through the book again, and there was the piece of paper. Clear as a bell, easy to find. Swear I looked in the book 3 times, not there. Was something in there playing a trick on me? Possibly. Was it trying to really screw up my mind? I felt like I was in the Bermuda Triangle of the store. Possibly. But here's something that's even more interesting. So my manager went and she went to like an antique store and she bought this, it's kind of like a half crate, but it was decorated to look like a general store kind of box. And it caught my eye at first. I mean, we're in there selling artwork and crafts and stuff like that. But this, I think she was preparing to put something in this box. So on the right side of the box, there was a, you know how when people attach their tags to their items, they use string sometimes and then they tie a knot in it so that way, you know, no one can just pull it off and whatever. Okay, so I'm noticing this box. And I'm also noticing that there was a string on it that obviously had a tag on it at one point, but obviously that was off of it. So I took my hands and I went to the string to see if I could pull it off of where it was attached to on the box, and it was attached. And I was not going to go and get a scissors at that point and cut it off. I just decided, oh, heck with it, you know, for now. I'm going to ask the manager about this box and you know, leave it at that. Okay, so the next day that I came into work, a couple things had happened. I was over straightening things and getting the store ready to open when I looked back down at this box and I noticed that the string that had been knotted, okay, you know, imagine a something attached to it but knotted at the end but only the tag pulled off of it. And I couldn't, you know, like I said, I was too lazy to go get a scissors to cut it off there. I just didn't want to. I'm not kidding you. It was laying in the box, still knotted in its circular way, and it was laying in the box. And I thought to myself, oh my God. It wasn't my imagination. I looked at my husband. He was helping me at the time. He's a good sport, you know. How many husbands do you have as good sports out there that come to a craft store, help you out with your crafts, right? Anyway, I said, oh my God. And he looked at me and he said, say nothing to anybody about this because they would think you're absolutely off your rocker. I said, first of all, I said, I couldn't find the piece of paper. I swear to God, there was no piece of paper. Then it shows up. Then I go over and I futz with this string that's literally tied in a knot. where you can't pull it off. You have to cut it off. And it's sitting there still tied in its knot, but, and it's lying in the box. Okay. Then he looked at me and he said, did you change the height of this chair? And I said, no, I never touched your chair. I said, we left everything last night the way it was. His chair, which he was futzing with, was at a different level than what he left it as. And again, he looks at me and he said, don't say a thing to these people here, because first of all, they'll think you're woo-woo, and, we don't want to be... I mean, they know I sell my paranormal books out of the store. They know I'm into the paranormal. But I had no idea that I would actually draw in there or encounter something that did obviously to me appear to be paranormal. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. How odd and how weird the Bermuda Triangle of the store. But anyhow, I've served my duty for this year, so next year I'll serve it again. Anyway, I never did have my little chat with the store manager. I think that she thought I was off my rocker the way it was when I couldn't find the obvious sheet that had my items on it that were sold. But things like this, in retrograde, things will mess with your mind. And so if you have issues like this, or you've got, if you've noticed things happening that you can't explain, blame it on retrograde. Okay, back to David Copperfield's show. David Copperfield, a billionaire, interesting man, very eccentric, has served his time well, performing and perfecting his art of magic. I would bet, although he would probably never talk about it, that he has had many different kinds of paranormal experiences happen while his show is going on. And the only reason why I say that is because it seems like there's many places on the strip and off the strip and around that area that have hauntings that cannot ever be explained. I would bet he would be fascinating to talk to. Well, I ended up on stage, and which was because he needed our row. So I ended up on stage standing there. It was kind of weird. I'm on stage with David Copperfield looking out at this audience, socially distanced, by the way, but interesting. And just the perspective that you get when you actually see a large crowd like that looking at you. It's very interesting. But anyhow, I'm not going to talk a little bit about the act that he had going on. He made a guy disappear and reappear. And, and that was the act that I was participating in. But it happened behind my back. And I don't know. He was being kind by asking us, because he needed the row, to go stand up on stage and just stand there. But very interesting. But the other magic show, which I will not disclose whose magic show this was, there was a paranormal visitor. And this happened off the strip. And it was in the part of town that had a lot of gangster activity back in the day. And I talked in a little bit in length to some of the people that actually did the magic in that show. And I was part of the final act, which was the floating table, by the way. I was very emotional, because it wasn't for the fact that I knew that the table was probably, had a device that made it float. I guess it cost him $7,000 to make that table, by the way. And you can buy one if you really want one. But anyhow, I was up for the final act, but just before the whole thing started, I was taking pictures inside the room. Captured a very, very solid white orb in the corner, like literally sitting on a chair, kind of thing. And that brought me to asking some questions to the magician's family members, and who told me that they've had a lot of paranormal activity in that room since they were there for the last couple years. Stuff like things being aborted, in other words, disappearing, never to be seen again, things disappearing right off their bodies, never to be seen again. Technical issues, of course, people can discount that, but lots of different things happening while the show is going on. One of the interesting things was the person that was with me, they gave us popcorn, and this friend of mine was stating that felt that there was pepper on the popcorn, and I should have asked for some of the popcorn to taste it, but I just didn't. I thought, it's all your imagination, you know. But it doesn't put it past me. Nothing gets past a person about manipulation of stuff like that, because I've had situations that just seem like absolutely impossible or would never happen and could potentially happen. And so between the popcorn having pepper on it, mine was fine, by the way, having the solid orb that showed up on the chair that was in the corner of the room in the back, the family member of the magician did tell me that he was gifted, and that while the performance was going on, he looked over and he claimed he saw a shadow person with a hat sitting there watching the show, but its head was bobbling from side to side. He said he's had situations like that before. I really would like to have him on my show. When I get back from vacation, I'm going to try to contact him again. I know due to the nature of the show and due to the fact that they're a new show and they want to be a success, that they don't want to frighten people away from the area or going there just because it may have a lot of unusual things that cannot be explained. But hopefully I will get him on the show and or a family member to talk about some of the most unusual things they've had happen while the magic show was going on. So the question, of course, will bring us to our main segment here in just a moment about why the paranormal seems to be most interested in magic. Well, remember I said that, you know, when a magician can make something disappear by the sleight of hand and it's just amazing? Well, guess what the paranormal can also do? Some. They can make things disappear, reappear, or end up somewhere in the room that you never think. I told the performer's son, because he said he had a ring disappear right off his hand, literally. Boom, gone. I said, did you look up towards the ceiling that over there, possibility in the vent? It could be sitting up in the vent, because they like to hide things in places that people would never think about. And then someday somebody's doing some work or whatever, and they come across this stuff, or they're like, why is this stuff back here? This is odd. And you hear of this, but there will be a story that I'll talk about in the regular segment to start this whole thing off, and then we'll kind of talk a little bit about the theater and why it seems to be so appealing to the paranormal. So I need another break. I'll be back in a second. We'll finish the show off with some of the interesting things that happen at magic shows and theaters and you name it. Stay tuned.
Oh, hey, Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling. The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on PRX.
Welcome back. Well, let's finish this show off tonight with some interesting stuff regarding can't always answer the question why, because the why is always being sought after for an explanation as to why things happen in theaters, in magic shows, in all kinds of venues that involve creativity. I think that for many years we're going to be running after the question why. So what I want to do is I want to start out with, this is going to be the educational portion of the podcast, and I want to start out very simplistically with by talking a little bit about why the paranormal seems to be so interested in showing up or attending or participating in magic shows, theaters, anything with an art form, anything with an expression. What is it about it? So I was trying to do some research just to see if I could grab some information that is probably common knowledge to most of you. But the one thing that it started talking about was memories. Well, that would only hold true if the paranormal or the energy that is haunting a place has a memory. So I don't exactly know why it would say memories, other than I came up with the idea of familiarity. And so let's say there's a performer that was in a theater or that building or that place or wanted to be part of the show or used to have that kind of position in some type of show similar to that, there might have been some familiarity there where they're used to taking the stage, and so that brought them right back to it. That would be the first thing. The energies of the performers was another thing, whether it was a sad performance or a happy performance. There's always a lot of energy that gets expelled into the environment when one is under the pressure of performing, but not just performing, but performing to the best of their ability or to the standard where when someone is actually paying you for it, of course, there's a lot of extra pressure put on you. So that would make sense to me that the energies of the performers can imprint into the environment and collectively together as energies, even of the audience, if the audience is real excited or fearful or whatever, and they're emitting these emotions or these kinds of energies out into the environment, you can also have a situation where that's just enough to be able to manifest something that may have had fond memories there or even miserable memories there. Some people die on stage of various types of things. Some people have freak accidents. All of these things collectively, that energy, that fear, that trauma, that all goes hand in hand. Imprints, just like the door opening and closing or the shovel scraping against the sidewalk sound or whatever you want to call it. Why is it that certain times of the year, I do know that in retrograde, from what I understand, the earth has shifted a little bit or does shift, and that in and of itself can or cannot cause things to possibly imprint into the environment. Traumatic situations. Yes, of course. Trauma brings a lot of unsettled energy, chaos. Anything that just heightens our electrical systems within us has a tendency to emit this sort of thing that sometimes the paranormal is very attracted to that. It's like a snack or chewing gum, you know. They want more. They want to sit there and go to it. It's possible that because I have so much anxiety and so much energy even surrounding my waiting to see if I'll ever get called for this game show, that just my being, you know, and this expression in my office and the feeling and the emotions that go through me, from excitement to fear to depression to everything you can imagine, I don't doubt that I can awaken anything that might have some kind of a spiritual form to it or an energy form to it and attract it right to me. I believe I can do that, okay? Rehearsals, shows, screenings, malfunctioning of things, all kinds of things that go into the possibility that something is attracted to this energy can cause manifestation. There you go with the haunted theaters. There you go with the movie theaters. You go with the productions. You go with any kind of thing that has an art form or expression can definitely, definitely attract the paranormal. Let me see. I've got a second sheet here. I want to just quickly see what it says. Let's see. People who used to be part of a show. People who are familiar with the show. People are familiar with a certain environment. This would not be any different than the paranormal wanting to still remain in an environment that they had when they were alive. And to give you just a brief teaser of what will be of most interest, I hope I'll be able to give you some information. One of the bed and breakfasts we are staying at in Iowa has an entire ghost family that moved back into this building. So they left it, but the building is pretty much like it was during their days when they were living. And from what I understand, there's an entire family roaming throughout the home. And we're talking about six ghosts. I can't wait. Anyway, I don't know if I'll capture anything or have an experience, but you're going to find out about it once I do. You know, the tampering with electrical equipment, anything like that. Any disappearances of items, any reappearances of items. A lot of times, tools disappearing when people are under construction and all that. I've heard of this so many times about tools disappearing or whatever. And it's just, you know, enough to just mess with your minds, wanting things to be like the way they were. So here's an interesting article that kind of sums up, I don't say sums up, but it just adds another layer to trickery and manifestation and things that go bump in the night. So this article that I'm going to be skimming over quickly in our last minutes here, this situation occurred in, I believe, around the Chicago area a couple years ago. And this person put this article on the system, believing that she wasn't going crazy, but that she was of age, you know, over age 65, and that nearly 40% of people over age 65 start having these, you know, memory, mind, you know, confusion type experiences. Well, I understand that. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close, and I can tell differences sometimes. Anyway, so this person moved into this house, okay? And they didn't believe in ghosts at first, but then after a while, realized that there was something a little bit different about this house. So there was one incident they're talking about when they removed their contact lenses. They, you know, they usually set them aside. Well, one of the contact lenses slipped and fell onto the floor and couldn't find it worth anything. Couldn't find it at all. But as time went by, eventually it showed back up in the middle of the kitchen table. So it fell on the floor in the bathroom upstairs, but ended up in the middle of the kitchen table. Nobody else had put it there, and the kitchen table surface had been wiped down several times, you know, several times before it actually had reappeared. Of course, interrogations followed in the household as to who put the contact lens on the kitchen table. No one would fess up to it. A bracelet slipped from this person's hand while taking it from the bathroom to the bedroom. Didn't show back up till months later, in the middle of a dresser that had been dusted many times in between. Okay? designer eyeglasses suddenly appear in the middle of the couch that had gone, once again, been, you know, cleaned a number of times, and all of a sudden, that for months of searching, couldn't find them. Find them in the middle of the couch. Fluffy towel one night was hanging on the shower rack, and the next day it was gone. It was a favorite pair of black ankle boots. Gone. Never to be seen again. So the frustration has also been costly for this person and maddening. And so anyway, they brought a spirit or a medium into the house, not a spirit, a medium who could contact spirits to try to figure out what was going on and who was creating the mischief. And basically when they were talking about, let's see if they even figured it out, felt that there was some kind of a portal through the fireplace, okay, felt that there was a poltergeist attached to the family. So when it was starting to downsize and the kids were going away, the activity was starting to heighten. It didn't seem to like that. She felt she was scatterbrained. She wasn't scatterbrained, but just continues to lift stuff. Can't figure out who it is, just someone that likes to hang around. Typical noises, shadow movements, blasts of air, all of them, you know, just the typical things people always report happening in their house. There was a situation, the person said that there was a woman, wasn't the same one, who reported seeing glass in her mayonnaise, and she ended up being admitted to a mental health facility instead. So this whole thing about missing items and seeing it one moment and then having it either reappear or never appear, this is very common. This is more common, and people just pass it off as thinking that they've got some kind of brain impairment that's going on, or it's their age and all that, and so they just go about their lives trying to bear with the fact that they either have a haunting or a mischievous haunting, or basically that they're going a little bit woo-woo. And that ends our segment for tonight. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Podcast Series. I hope to bring you some interesting guests in the future, and if not, some interesting stories, so we can continue our talking about, of course, the paranormal. Thank you, and good night.